praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, choir. Thank you, musicians. Thank you all so very, very much. Praise the Lord. Just a real quick announcement. Those of you, perhaps, if you have trouble hearing, we have purchased some hearing assistance. So if you are interested in wearing one, they're very discreet. And the ones that have used them thus far is very helpful. Say that they're very helpful. So we just want to assist you and help you in the best way we can. So if you need one of those to help you hear the message, please let me know, okay? All right, can you hear me all right this morning? Doing okay. All right, how many has your Bibles? Okay, we're going to jump right smack dab in the middle this morning. And I pray that you will pay me close attention. Something that we desperately need in our spiritual lives. But I want to preach to you this morning, or teach to you this morning, or preach to you this morning, shaping the heart. A few weeks ago, when Chris was talking about Mary and Martha, and somehow they get brought up quite often since that time, sometimes Martha gets a bad rap, and sometimes Mary gets all the praise. Mercy, I thought that scripture would show up better. But anyway, you got your Bibles or your iPhones or whatever. But in Luke chapter 10, I want to begin reading there. But there's some things that I want to point out. In our world, from far back as I can remember in school, they had an organization for parents and teachers called PTA. How many members PTA? How many's ever been a part of PTA, Parent Teachers Association? Well, we're going to start an association called PPA. You know what that is? I'll tell you in a minute. And it doesn't matter how old you are. I appreciate our young people here today, but I want you to pay special close attention, because our generation and our culture needs to be shaped by the church, not the world shaping the culture of the church. But the church needs to be shaping the culture of the world. So let's just get in. There's no way I'm going to get done today, so I may do it tonight. I may do it next Sunday. It may be a series throughout this year, but whatever God has. But simply entitled Shaping the Heart. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. As you stand for the reading of God's Word and allowing God's Word to absorb into your heart, glean and hang on to every word. I had an instructor to tell me once that you begin to read the Bible from a clinical standpoint of view, and it took me a while to figure out what that was, but from a clinical standpoint of view, you analyze and you look at every word, because every word is important and has something to say. Verse 38. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. Understand, if it was not for Martha opening her house and inviting Him in, Mary wouldn't have had the opportunity to sit at His feet, especially in that setting. Okay? So she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted. Somebody say distracted. By all the preparations that had to be made. I already know what I'm going to say, and I'm about to get excited. She came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me? I'm doing this all by myself. To do the work by myself. Tell her to help me, please." Verse 41. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is really necessary. Only one thing is really needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's only those things that are truly important. Truly important. We must understand, young and old alike, we must understand that we must keep the main thing the main thing. So some of you can't concentrate because you're wondering what PPA stands for. So we're going to talk about passion, posture, and attitude. Passion, posture, and attitude. Can I tell you today that all these are heart issues? All three of these are heart issues. How many wants to join the PPA? Okay. All these are heart issues. And can I also let you know it is your choice on how and to what degree we implement these qualities into our heart and into our lives. Especially concerning our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ and how we worship Him. Did you know Martha could have worshipped Him from the kitchen? But her posture was all messed up. Passion, I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of these three words. Passion, listen to this. Passion is a emotional feeling that is so strong that it is barely controllable. That's passion. That's passion. The suffering and death of Jesus Christ was the prime example of passion for you, for us. To reach out to a people that He had no guarantee that was going to respond to that passion that He had. Can I just let you know, you might want to write this down, but the true meaning of passion actually means the willingness to suffer. It goes past the comfortableness of our desires. Passion actually means the willingness to suffer. Okay? Posture is the position in which someone holds their body while standing or sitting. That's the natural aspect of posture. But the way someone deals with or considers something, the way they approach it, or their attitude towards it is what we're talking about here. It's not necessarily the position, but it's our attitude in which we deal with it. It's the way we approach it. I told you a second ago, Martha could have served and worshiped God from the kitchen, but she was too concerned with the stuff and she was distracted by the stuff. She was distracted by Sister Hootendoodle wouldn't help her do it, so she was distracted and she could not worship because she wasn't in the mental capacity of that position or posture. An attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. The reflection of a person's behavior in a matter. The way one displays their bodily posture or mental state is the attitude. I probably need to read that again. It's a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. The reflection of a person's behavior in a matter and the way one displays their bodily posture or their mental status. Now, for just a moment, each one of us has analyzed someone else's attitude by their bodily posture. Right? Boy, they really got an attitude. Is that not exactly where Martha was? Her attitude toward what was taking place, she opened up her home, but she had an attitude toward the worship because Mary wasn't doing what Martha thought she ought to be doing. Oh my, we can preach. It's the same way in church. We get so distracted because somebody's not doing it like we think we ought to do. We get so distracted that we become Martha, and we're so distracted because they're not doing it like we think we ought to do. Therefore, we get mad and we hold our posture in a place to where we couldn't worship God or offer Him anything. So, we're going to have a PPA meeting. And every one of these is an attitude of the heart. We have all heard, and I'm going to break it down, and we're going to go back to passion for just a moment or two or three. We can break it all down, and we've heard people say, or we have said it, boy, that person has a passion for that. We know Aaron has a passion for the St. Louis Cardinals. He has a passion for cheesecake. It's very plain. He don't have to tell us. We know. It just comes out. It oozes out of him. He has a passion for those things. And others have a passion for cooking. Sister Snow has a passion for making cinnamon rolls, and I have a passion for eating them. We have a passion. Different people have passions. I want you to listen to me close. I mean, I'm coming straight to your heart right now, okay? Will you open up your heart and let me in for just a moment? There's a lot of passion in our world today. We have passion for football, passion for basketball, passion for baseball, or a number of different sports. People have a passion for vacation. They have a passion for their vocation. They have a passion for work. We have a passion for doing things for God. Will somebody shout with me? No, listen to me. We have a passion for doing things. How many's got a passion for doing things for God? Okay, I want to show you and tell you what Martha and Mary's problem was. Martha had a passion for doing things for God, but she lacked the passion for God. It's easier to do things for God and have a passion for that than to have a passion for God. So it was the same thing. No, it ain't the same thing. Martha was happy of cooking dinner until Mary wouldn't help her. She was happy to open up her house and offer it for Jesus to come. But then she wasn't satisfied. She had a passion to doing something for Jesus. But Mary had a passion for Jesus. Totally two different things. And so I'm urging you today to rethink where you're at in your relationship with Jesus Christ and understand and realize that we need to have a passion for Christ. So what does that deal with, Pastor? It deals with taking the time to read His Word. It deals with taking the time of sitting at His feet and learning and gleaning and praying and talking to Him and having that quiet time and that spiritual time. Yes, sir. We oftentimes confuse our passion for doing things for God with versus our passion for God. And so I just want to clarify that between Martha and Mary. Martha had a passion for doing things for God. She opened her house. And I told you a while ago, if it was not for her opening her house, Martha wouldn't have been sitting at His feet in the house. Okay? But I also want to help you understand that you can have a passion for Christ whether you're in the kitchen or whether you're in the front room. But there's times in our lives that we have to turn the stove off, we have to turn things off, and get a passion for Christ at His feet. It is imperative that our passion for Him is greater than our passion of doing for Him. Does that make any sense whatsoever? Martha had a passion for doing for Jesus, but Mary had a passion for Jesus. We have become very passionate in our world today for many things. But we have become passive in our passion for worship. I didn't figure that I would get a lot of amens this morning because I'm feeding you some good stuff, so I'm not even going to ask you to say amen unless I forget. But we have become passive in our passion for Christ. How do I know? There's some of us that's my age, a little older, and some a little younger, that can remember a time when we come to the house of God, we had church. We was passionate about our relationship with God. We was passionate about our worship for God. I have known people that would shout at a drop of a hat and bring their own hat to church and drop it, because they was passionate about their relationship with Jesus Christ. I have heard people say, well, that's not me. But I see that same people at a ball game when their favorite team scores. Absolutely goes crazy and loses their mind because of their passion. We have lost our passion for worship. We have replaced it for doing instead of being. One of the greatest things that I remember in some of my classes was that it is more important to be than it is to do. When you visit someone on their deathbed, it is more important for you to be there than it is for doing something for them. When you're at church, it's more important for you to be there for Christ than it is to do something for Him. It is not about you, but it is about Him. We come to worship Him. We come to praise Him. We come to magnify Him. But we have become passive with our worship passion. We seem like that we have gotten to a place that it's all right to be emotional out there, but we just have a certain limit of emotion that we can have here. Oh, every once in a while somebody will shout. Every once in a while somebody will get those tinges up and down their back. But I can remember a time when we had such a passion, if one person got the feeling the Spirit of God, it just got all over somebody else and we had church. I can remember, well, you say, well, you're just getting old. No, I'm not getting old. I've gotten old. And I understand and I realize that. I worked out in the yard yesterday afternoon and I woke up this morning realizing how old I really was. But that's not the point. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It's our attitude of our mind and it's the position or the posture of our heart and our life that we get committed to having a passion for God. And it doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. It doesn't matter what anybody else is thinking. I come to God's house to worship Him. I come to God's house to praise Him. I may not shout all the time, but listen, if you're still alive and you still have a passion for Jesus, you're going to show it sometime. Somewhere you're going to show it. Going to show it. We kind of have that attitude that if Christ wants us to be blessed. Hello? I didn't ask you to say amen. I just said hello. Just wanted to make sure you're alive. We have an attitude that if Christ wants us to be blessed, He'll deliver it. Kind of like the way that a pizza delivery boy delivers you your pizza to your front door. I ain't getting up till the doorbell rings. We fail to realize that He already has the table spread and prepared. It's already ready. The meal's already on the table. But it's our responsibility to come to the table and eat.
We're waiting at the door when the meal's already on the table. Therefore, we lack the proper posturing to receive the benefits of the blessings that's already there. We lack the passion to possess it. Our posture is waiting when we need to be feasting, and our attitude is whatever, and the apathy of I really don't care, or so many times we've already had a knockdown drag out with our spouse before we get to church, and if God can get through anything, it'll be a miracle. Our posturing is our attitude is, bless me if you can, God. God, I'll really be receptive if you'll get my wife straightened out. But until you do, God, I'm just waiting on you. We have lost that passion. We have allowed so many things to get into our lives and our heart. We get up on Sunday morning and we're not planning for church and worship. We're planning for Monday. We totally deplete our strength and our mental capacity because we have filled it so full on Saturday. We're not even sure what it is the day when the day ends. Come on. I'm not going to ask you to say amen. I'm just telling you. You know what I'm talking about. We cram our Saturdays so full, we're absolutely exhausted. You say, well, Pastor, is that not what you did yesterday and you worked in the yard? No, I spent the first part of the day, didn't even go outside till after dinner. I was in the Word of God prior to that. We have lost our passion for worship. For worship. We've lost our passion for the things of God. We lack passion to possess it, and our posture is waiting when we need to be feasting, and our attitude is, well, whatever. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 through 37, David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept thy father's sheep, and there was a lion, the bear, that took the lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him." He did not wait for the bear to come back. Hear me. He did not wait for the lion to return after another lamb. He went after the one that was lost, the one that was captured. He went after not so much. He had a passion to retrieve the lamb because it was his daddy's. And he smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard. I mean, he had a passion. Smote and slew him. And now he gets out on the battlefield and he hears this uncircumcised Philistine that's mouthing and cursing the armies of Israel. There's something that rose up inside of him. He could have been as passive, but he was passionate. He could have been like his big sissy brothers and been passive and stayed in the tent, but he said, "I cannot take this. I've got a passion. There's nobody going to say anything against my God." And David was even more passionate. And he said, "The Lord will He delivered me out of from the lion and the bear, and He'll deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." And David said, "I ain't got a problem with that. He is with me. I'm passionate." That dude has stood on the hillside way too long making his brags. Me and God's going to go against him. David, as a shepherd boy, had a passion to protect his daddy's sheep no matter the cost. And his passion to defend God's people was most recognizable. He had a passion. I'm here to tell you, when you got a passion,
people will recognize it. If you've got a passion to worship God, people's going to recognize it. If you've got a passion to be with God, people's going to recognize it. And I seriously doubt, and you may prove me wrong, but I seriously doubt if you lack passion in the pew, you're going to lack passion at home. I'm here to tell you today that there's Pentecost still wrote above the door or out on the sign out there. And I'm still proclaiming to be Pentecost. And Pentecost has a passion for the power that fell on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. And I'm here to tell you, when you get your snoot full of Pentecost and the Holy Ghost, you're going to show it, and your passion is going to come out. I mean, it's just like making a slam dunk on the backboard, and that ball goes in and your team just scores 2 points. Can I tell you, there is a passion with inside of us. If you have a passion to be with God, that passion's going to show forth, and the passion in your life is going to be exposed. It's a passion. I just come by to let you know today that what I feel in my heart and what I feel in my soul and my spirit, I want to deliver to you and let you know that there is a passion that we need to feel and a passion that we need to respond to. Yesterday, even though the Hogs got beat on the basketball court, and they was in Georgia, and there was very few Hog people there. When the Hogs scored, it did not deviate for their cheering and having a passion. They stood to their feet in the midst of all the other Dogs so that they could cheer for the Hogs. And they was passionate about it. Passionate about it. Didn't matter if they was 10 or 15 or a couple of hundred, they was passionate about it. So I ask you today, what is our problem? We can't seem to get passionate about anything other than, I wish that preacher would hurry up and shut up so I could go home. But I'm here to tell you today, we need to learn to spend time at the Master's feet. Passionate about spending time. David was not only passionate about his father's sheep, he was passionate about defending God's people. And it was very recognizable along with the passion. He was not intimidated. Listen, church. He was not intimidated by the size of the devil. He was not intimidated by how many weapons he had. And he wasn't intimidated by the loud voice that kept hollering across the holler. I guess that was the valley there. We live in Arkansas and Oklahoma. We have hollers here. He was not intimidated by the size of the devil, by the weapons that he had, or the loud voice that he portrayed. You know why? Because he had a passion for his God. He said, well, he was doing something. He had to do something. And I'm telling you, he had to do something when he was there because he had a passion at the feet of God out in the fields with the sheep. I've often used the phrase, even in my prayer, God, give me an unction to function. Give me an unction to function. Come by to tell you today that the giants are all around about us. And while the giants are all around about us, we have become full of apathy and don't care. We become so passive that because of all the giants are around us, we're hid in the tent. And we have allowed the size and the weapons and the loud voices to intimidate us. We no longer have a passion. We no longer have a desire. We no longer have an unction. And the spirit of whatever has been so instilled within our hearts, while the armies of God are faltering and the enemies are gaining ground. Should not be, church. Should not be. All the power in heaven and earth has been given to us through the Son, Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? All the powers of heaven and earth has been given to us through the Son, Jesus Christ. That we cannot allow the
the armies of God, of a lack of passion to falter while the enemy is gaining ground. It's time we sing that song, "I'm Taking It Back." But where in the world do we take it back? It's with our passion for God that we stand and we worship Him. We can't wait to get to the altar and pray and seek His face. We've got to spend time at His feet. We've got to spend time at His feet. We cannot allow the enemy to gain ground. We have got to get the passion back. Young and old alike, we have got to get the passion back. I don't know about you, but I desperately want to have a testimony as Paul did, as he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 through 7, "But watch thou in all things, enduring affliction." You remember what I told you about passion? It means the willingness to suffer. He said, "Be endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry, for I am now ready to be offered." Just go ahead and Satan and come at me, because I got a passion for God. And if I have to offer myself upon the altar of sacrifice, here I am. Devil, I'm not going to move, because I got a passion for God. The time of my departure is at hand, and I have fought a good fight. Can you just imagine Paul sitting in his little humble house, writing this letter to Timothy with the lamp burning dim in the middle of the night? This is my take on it. And he's writing that, and he gets to that scripture or that verse. Of course, back then, they didn't have numbers to the verses. So when he got to that place, he said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I've kept the faith." I got a feeling there's some Pentecost got in his legs. I believe that he pulled back his chair and began to lift his hand and praise Almighty God. "I have fought a good fight." Hey, he might not have been dancing and shouting like he used to, but he was still doing a Pentecostal jig because he had a passion. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the passion that I have in my life. I've got to do. I've got to be. I'm going to be at His feet. I fought a good fight. Finished my course. And then prior to that, he had wrote in 1 Timothy 6 and 12, "Fighting the good fight of faith, lay hold to eternal life." He was encouraging young Timothy. I'm encouraging you today, young and old alike, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold to eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know how that's portrayed? The passion. The passion. Church, there is no greater inspiration than what we have in Jesus Christ. And that passion is exemplified in the definition of the word itself, willingness to suffer. Luke 2:49 says, "And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Would you not know I must be about my Father's business?" There is no greater example, no greater example than Jesus Christ Himself, even as a young boy, to His earthly mom and dad, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" And that in his short 30 years in life, it's recorded later on in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. As he said to his father, "If it be willing, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. Because I come," he said to his disciples, "to do the will of him that sent me." Chris, go ahead and come to the piano if you and Cammy would like to. I want to leave this with you, and we're going to talk about posture. But I want you all to consider joining the PPA, because we need to get some passion back in our church.
for Jesus? But can I also tell you, we're going to teach and preach on posture next, and you'll be surprised at the posture. But can I give you just a little bit of briefing here, that a person's posture reveals their passion? Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You for Your people. Lord, I thank You for the passion. Just can't help it, Lord. I've got to get to You, Jesus. I've got to get to You. Lord, I want to take as many with me as I can to Your feet. Father God, I pray today that You will touch hearts and lives, touch Your people, minister to them. God, I pray that You'll begin to stir something up within each one of us and help us, oh God, to kindle the fire and blow on the flame. Rekindle that passion within inside of each of us. Father God, I love You and appreciate You in Jesus' name. With head bowed and eyes closed just for a moment, is there someone here today, you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, or you do, but there's some distance and you'd like to rekindle that fire? Would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come and embarrass you. God bless these hands. Who else would just say, Pastor, I've got to get more passion back in my life. Would you just slip up your hand? God bless these hands. I want more passion in my life. How many would be quick right now to stand to your feet all over this building? Just lift both hands between you and God and say, God, here I am. Lord, I need Your passion, Lord, to fill my heart and my life. I pray, God, that You'll build that fire. Help me kindle it, oh God. Lord, stir me, mold me, and make me, and help me, oh God, to be all that You'd have me to be. God, I can't take it no more. I gotta have more of You, Lord. I gotta be at Your feet. Lord, I love You and appreciate You, Jesus.
My desire.
Kila la la bokoria, Sunday. Kila la la bokoria. Heavenly Father, we praise You, God. I pray that You'll build the fire, Lord. God, build the fire, Lord. Build the fire, Lord. Build the fire.
Though often I fail,
Lord, I thank You, Jesus.
And I bring You much shame.
God, stir us with an unction to function, the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, I love You and I appreciate You. Reach over and take your neighbor by the hand and pray for one another. Say, oh God, if You'd ever do it again, do it now, Lord. Do it now, Lord. Stir us. Search us. Build the fire, oh God. Lord, I praise You. I praise You. Thank You, I praise You, God, Lord, open up the windows of heaven. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll pour down the fire of God. Stir us, Lord, give us that power and that unction to function through the passion of our
hearts.
I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost will speak to your heart throughout this day.
God will begin to build a fire and unction in your heart and your life like you haven't ever experienced it before. To where that passion begins to exemplify from your life. If you believe it, say amen. Just ask Him one time today. Don't you love the Lord? Give Him a great big hand clap of love and appreciation. Lord, we love You, Jesus. Lord, it's my desire. God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly. Don't forget choir practice tonight in church at 6 o'clock. God bless you.